of the class, we've got a guest graduate of the course, Jeremy Stater, who you probably know. And the idea is to have someone who's been through the course, gone on and done the synthesis, and you can, just to give you an image about how far someone can take a project from the beginning of their synthesis through to the end, and depending on how the graduate of the course presents it, you'll get some insights along the way, or maybe you'll just get an image about how a project can evolve and unfold and grow and develop. So that's the main focus of having a guest. On the website, there are some examples of previous people's work. Of course, you don't have their voice, you just have their PowerPoints, but even then, it's kind of interesting to look at them.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Has a stroke,
though. And so I'm just going to hand the floor over to Jeremy, and you all have to put your head slightly on the side to look at the screen. And Jeremy can introduce himself because he's also being taped for the so the online people can listen as well.
So hi everybody, I'm Jeremy Stater. Nice to see you. Nice to meet you today.
Hello.
So Peter mentioned we are taping, so if you need to shout out any disgruntled kind of words, that's good, so we shut that off. So today, I kind of have some ideas about talking about my progression, sort of starting earlier in CCT and then moving through this course and then to the synthesis. So I'll kind of present that in a little bit of a wider range first, and then I'll come back to some specific things about this course that I think were important as part of that whole process. And I do have a little bit of a map that I'm going to use to kind of point out where I am when I'm talking about the various elements. Okay. So what I'm starting to show here, and I'm going to kind of move down this whole thing, is that starting off early in CCT, I really kind of came in and started to develop ideas around the three areas that are in the circles there. So talking about areas where I've worked, parts of my life that I thought were important, this is what I was bringing in as far as my perspective at CCT. So those included my work in adult and community education, where I've been a teacher and program manager, and I've done a number of kinds of roles within that setting. These were mostly nonprofit human services organizations where there was education going on, but it wasn't about certification or about degrees. It was about providing some kind of level of support to people in their everyday lives. So it could have been job skills training or computer education, or adult basic education. Those are the kind of things that were going on in that situation. Mm-hmm. Also in this time, I had a growing interest in the theater arts. So based on some training that I'd had and performance I'd done in improvisational theater, I'd started to notice some connections between that and what I cared about in teaching and in education. So I knew that there was a connection, but I wanted to make sure I was really exploring it really well. And then the other area is the direct experience in teaching. So before this point, I'd done a lot of work in training, teaching, instructional design, curriculum development, kind of the hardcore functions of the teacher in a number of different environments as well. So these were all floating around there, and they became kind of my triad of ideas that I knew had relationships, but I didn't know quite what to do with them at this point. And so a lot of my CCT programs, projects, actually focused on something within that area, although somewhat of a disjoint way. So moving on to this course, and kind of what I'm showing on the side are, as I moved through these stages, I had a certain frame of reference that seemed to switch at a certain point. So within these boxes or frames, those are mentioning my frames of reference and how I think they changed at a critical point. So right around this time, I was really thinking about, well, what do I care about? I care about support for community education, making it better, making the people who were involved have more access to support and resources and things that I felt weren't always out there. So around this time, my perspective changed a little bit to focus on teachers themselves. So not just the environment, the institution, but really the people who are the teachers, who weren't always called teachers, but were doing the work of teachers, and didn't have a lot of opportunity necessarily for professional development. Okay, so moving on to this course, I started off with the initial governing question. What are the steps that I can take to engage the adult learning communities in using the principles of theater arts to prepare them to create social change? So to me, that seemed to be specific enough that it gave me some leads on where to go, how to narrow down my research. Starting off with that point, that included all those elements in a way that I thought made sense. It sort of drove me to try to find the relationships. And then my final report, kind of skipping ahead over the whole semester, I called it Recapturing the Joy of Adult Education Through a Theater Arts Perspective of Learning Toward a Renewed Purpose of Social Change. So I kind of kept going with the long title, making sure to get all those pieces in there. So I'm going to keep moving through, and I'm going to come back to this course a little bit in a little while, like I said. So by the time I'd made it through the 692 course, my frames of reference had started to change a little bit more again. So instead of thinking more specifically of support for community education teachers, I was thinking in a more directed way about professional development for teachers. So not just the system of providing support to teachers, for resources, for providing materials for teachers, but also what could teachers do with each other to support their own professional development in the cases where their organizations wouldn't pay for them to go to training, or where professional development was not a formal part of their job or a formal privilege that they ever had access to. So in my case, after the 692 course, I followed it up with the 693 course, Action Research. So I really stayed within this thread, and I started to get a little bit more specific and take my interest in the theater arts part of things a little bit more seriously. And that led to my kind of reworking ideas around what I perceived as the use of play in development of becoming a teacher. So in my final report, I called it Developing an Action Research Plan for Personal Action that Inspires the Use of Collaborative Play by Teachers in the Small Group Curriculum Planning Process. And that was exactly what it says. There's a lot to that too. But there I was really focusing on a specific plan of what could I do, what steps do I need to take to actually create the use of play within planning that teachers were doing. So before this situation, I was in an environment where teachers, including myself, were working together. We were trying to develop curriculums and lesson plans for a youth science program, and there was no communication between the teachers. There was no play. There were only, what's the problem? What's the decision? Let's just do it. That's all we have to worry about. So my idea was to bring this idea of play into the planning process, where the play happened before the class with the kids even was happening itself. It was happening with the teachers first. So then within my frame of reference kind of change here, switching from professional development for community ed teachers to the idea of who is a potential community education teacher. So I started thinking about the population of people, the community, as a little bit broader. Not just people who already were labeled as teachers or knew they were teachers, but all these other people out there who had a lot of knowledge, but maybe weren't acting as teachers right now, but they could be. And a lot of people with knowledge that could be sharing this knowledge with the different kind of communities that I'm talking about in these organizations. So then moving on to the synthesis process. So again, fast forward all the way through the semesters, and my synthesis title ended up being Exploring the Teaching Mind, Extending Participation in Lifelong Learning Through Engagement with a Supportive Community. So really my attention focused a little bit more on the idea of lifelong learning. So what's the whole big picture, holistic kind of process I'm thinking about? It's really lifelong learning, the way that people engage in their own, the way that they support each other. So the idea that came out of this was that exploring the teaching mind was all about the person thinking about their own learning through the point of view of themselves as a teacher. So if you want to know something, if you want to learn about it, then what would it mean if you were to actually think about yourself as being a teacher of that kind of thing? How would that make you figure out if you know what you're really thinking about? And what could you actually do in a literal kind of group or collaborative situation to actually make that happen? So this really kind of extended this population beyond people who are already teachers to anybody who really might be a teacher, might not really be aware of it, might not know it right then, but might have knowledge to share, and who might be part of this system of social change that I thought was important, at least to me. So that's really what that kind of last frame of reference is talking about. And so then just mentioning a little bit about how this extended beyond my official formal CCT studentship. I've continued working with the CCT program on the staff. So one of the things that I do is I help to organize the CCT network events where alumni from the program potentially come back, share their learning with others who are still in the program. And there's kind of a mutual sharing of what are we doing? What can we do with CCT? What have I done? Where can we go with these kind of critical and creative thinking ideas that are we know are so important, but we're not sure what to do with yet. And then kind of related to some of my previous projects, I've continued working with a collaborative group of teachers in one of my other work situations. So our idea was to keep that idea going of play, of collaborating between teachers who are working in community settings, and sort of make that our focus of our development as professionals. Because in all the situations that I encountered, none of these teachers had any other training that they were getting. They had no other situations where they were talking with other teachers. They were fairly isolated in all of their situations, and so was I. So that was one way to just turn that whole synthesis process into something that kept going for a little while. It still does to some extent right now. And then one of the other items mentioning returning to synthesis. So just recently, I've been able to go back and look at my synthesis a little bit more and remind myself of what I was trying to do some writing that I think helped to motivate me to kind of continue momentum into thinking about involving people who don't know their teachers into teaching, to help people recognize their knowledge as learners. Okay. So in this next section, I'm really showing a couple of things that I think represent my 692 breakthroughs. To me, these are the things that I recognize as bridging 692 to everything that came afterwards. So one of those is my Mac. And brought an example. Not just an example. This was my first draft of my Mac. So my Mac was my visual way to describe what I thought I was doing in this course. So somewhere within this map, there are relationships between those three main elements that I talked about. I kind of developed this, what I thought of as a high-level view, where there are planets and spaceships and kind of big picture sort of thing. So I really kind of went far with trying to develop that in that respect.
Most of that's in the materials.
Yeah, linked to that. I think so, yep. Yeah. The reason why I think that was a breakthrough is that for me, the process of mapping created a lot of metaphors and a lot of new ways to think about what I was doing. So I started looking at pictures, thinking about visual images in a different way, and saying, oh, maybe I'm trying to connect these two things that relate in this way. Maybe I'm looking at it on a certain level. It just helped me to almost give something to center on when I was tired of writing, when I was tired of reading, when I had all my materials stacked there and didn't know what to do. It really became kind of a simple, just look at this for 10 minutes and let my mind kind of get away from all the other heavy stuff that was on my mind at the same time. So one of the other items here, managing the research process. A couple things I was thinking about then. I think one of the things that came up here was that there was a lot of research I found, a lot of materials, a lot of links, a lot of everything. So that's something that I think I faced a number of times, I think everyone does. What I really tried to figure out then and actually put some attention on is how do I separate the merely very interesting from the essential? And that was one of the hardest things I think I did in CCT. And that's what really helped me to figure out how do I need to spend my time on this project? Because I can't do everything. And so other than saying it, I guess what that means is that I really figured out in a very specific way what was my governing question trying to ask me, what were the specific things that I really had in mind versus the ones that I didn't. And when I found new research or new reading, and I looked it over a little bit, I made a very quick decision that I should use this to a certain extent or cut it out, leave it off, note it as something that I'm going to explore later but not have to know all about right now. So that was hard to do because it's hard to say, no, I'm not going to use you. I'm not going to use this resource. But I had to do it. So that's a turning point in my research process. So this next one about keeping momentum, I think this also started to emerge more in the action research course, but in 692 already, I was thinking about bringing it down to my own level. So, okay, I had the map that showed the big picture, but great, what do I do with this? So I really started to think about what's my own environment, what's something that I could realistically do. Okay, I can write a curriculum. I can develop a one-time workshop for teachers. Those are things that I could do because it started at that point. It helped me to keep momentum going the rest of the way. So I knew right away that certain kinds of areas of activity and tasks and procedures that I could follow were just taking me outside of what I could realistically do. So I just got real about keeping that at a sort of realistic pace and rate. Organizing time. So what happened, I think, in the 692 course is that every week I got to the syllabus and I said, okay, there are all these things to do. I have to not only do these things, but when I get to one and I don't understand it, I have to look in the syllabus and read about the context and read about what's going on and fit everything together. This is something that didn't happen until late in my 692 process, but every time I came to a new week in the syllabus, eventually, I would literally guess at how much time I thought it would take. So if I saw fill out the syllabus quiz, I said, okay, 45 minutes. And I wrote that kind of time for everything that I saw, every action item that I thought was part of the process, I wrote a time, guessing, totally guessing. What that helped me to do was when I got to a point in my week where I was kind of in between going from place to place or I had time on the subway, I knew I had a half hour. I looked at my list, I said, what are the half hour items? What are the 30 minute items? And I did one of those things. And that helped me to actually make it through. Before I'd done that, I think I had a hard time looking at all the to-dos and saying what to do first, how do they relate, how am I going to get this done. I sort of fudged getting right into it a little bit because I just held myself back. So I got very specific about guessing how much time things would take, and then when I thought I had that time, just doing it. And most of the time, it was almost enough time. I needed a little bit more to really finish, but that was fine. I had the momentum going and I was already into it, so I didn't mind finding the extra 10 minutes to go and finish that 30-minute project. And then the other thing that I mentioned here is the peer exchanges. So exchanges and sort of utilizing the others in the class. This is something that I think I learned as a lesson pretty well in 692, and then I really started to do it well in my future courses. So what I mean by this is I used everybody else in the class as much as I could, and I let them use me. And that's something that I hadn't really done much before this course at all. I hadn't been open to saying to other people, you know, I need your help. I want you to look at this and just give me this kind of feedback. Or I'd like to be able to give comments to you on this if you're open to it. So I was never direct about those kind of commitments to people. or asking them from others or giving them to others until I started to get into this course. That's the end. I'll take a break now. Any questions? I'll put it all at once, but that's some.
It kind of seemed to me that when you started the beginning of 692, you had like a little more specific kind of idea, and it almost got a little bit broader as you went along. Is that true or no? Like in the beginning, it seemed like you had so many more specific ideas, and then it turned into a general, like, we looked at everyone as a teacher, sort of.
Yeah. I guess in a way, I certainly kind of opened up things and closed them back and opened up and closed back. So I think when I started off with that specific idea, I knew I was in a certain universe of kinds of ideas, and then I think I moved around within that universe, but I was open to that, but I didn't get too broad that I couldn't manage the resources anymore.
Yeah.
That
just surprised me a little bit. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I think you kind of imagine like you're going to get more specific. So I thought that was kind of eye-opening, seeing that you, opened up a little bit as you went along. So.
And I think it really relates to the frames of reference thing.
Yeah.
To me, that's what's really important about the opening up.
Yeah.
I feel like in my research and in my processes, I eventually did stop opening up, but in my frame of reference, I kept that open. So
yeah,
that's kind of
where I'm referring to.
Yeah, I'd say so.
But it is true that his 692 paper might have been 30 pages, and his synthesis was 200. So he did have more space to include more things.
Right.
And in my case, just the way that I approached CCT, I'd had some of these ideas in my mind since I've been 10 years old. And I've never really given them any kind of academic attention or taken them that seriously. But then the CCT program is how I started to make that a more serious endeavor. So there are things that I wrote that I think I was just getting out at first, and then I actually had to go and put some research behind what I was actually saying.
Can you give an example of that? Idea you had from when you were 10 that you then got to do in CCT?
Yeah, I think just some of the basic kind of interactions that I saw between teachers and students in school. I think I related a lot of what I did to my own experience in school, and I remembered a couple of teachers who, they loved going by the textbook. So the textbook was there, they just referred to the textbook, do this page, work on these problems. But then I remember talking with some other classmates about, the textbook says this, but aren't we going to talk about anything else? I mean, I feel like the teacher is supposed to be an expert. So can't we hear some more stories or some more context around what's going on? And I'm thinking about an American government class specifically, where I guess I learned some static kinds of facts and things like that, but never got to talk about government, never got to understand what civics was. And so for me, the idea of teachers kind of working on the craft of teaching, whether or not you have that role formally, is an important thing. And I just started thinking of myself as a teacher who was going to correct all those problems that I saw. But then I found that, well, maybe there's not the support system that I assumed that there was, so what can I do to help create it somehow? I would say it's never something that I wrote down in these terms, but I remember kind of looking at some of my materials to come here today. I noticed how I read some of my journal entries and some other things where I was talking about my insights, and I realized that these are the words that I think put the insights into more concrete form. So maybe, for example, during the 692 course, I think I definitely notice that I made that kind of transition.
What transition is that? Just for the online people?
Yeah, previously in my CCT work, it focused on community education as a whole, or, excuse me, how the centers operated, other kind of logistical matters. But then I really started to focus on the teachers as a community in that course. And I hadn't done that before. I focused on myself as a teacher in that community, but I focused more broadly on the communities, not the teachers as people.
I did, and I think, I'm hoping your experience that we've been through is great. I think what I've, you know, I know there's a point where we are right now, there's going to be an endpoint, that endpoint will be some kind of product of a paper. Right now, though, it feels like there are all these clouds, sort of a whirling dervish of ideas and tasks, and, you know, I'm such a linear person. I mean, I'm at point A, and I want to get to whatever that next point is, and the path is not a linear path. It doesn't feel like it. So I guess I'm wondering if you have any insights or suggestions about how we can, and I don't know if I've just in some conversations with my classmates know that some others are feeling like, how did you manage to sort of stay the course, even though there's tasks that bring you along the course, but it feels broad and cloud-like.
Yeah.
I'm in that cloud right now with Google.
No,
but like it's out there, you know, like the whole idea that you know, it's not a fixed set of, you know, go do your research, come up with some paper. I mean, it's, and I know a lot of people have been through this process, so it works. But right now, I don't feel centered, and I'm really used to feeling centered through the previous CCT classes. It's really, you know, I'm on class number 8, so I've been through something, but this is very different, and I guess some insight would be helpful.
Yeah, there's probably a lot to say about that, but one thing I could say is don't assume that I'm out of the cloud now.
So
you may just have to kind of come to terms with the idea that there's going to be a cloud there, but maybe what, in my case, got me through it was sort of counterintuitive, I stopped thinking. And that was probably an intentional thing that I did a few times where I said, I'm not going to think about these problems. These problems are not the problems I'm dealing with. I'm going to kind of bring myself down to the task level. Do these things, organize my to-do list, check them off, and then just be confident that I'm going to be able to look back later and say, oh, here are all these wonderful things that happened. But in the middle of that, I think sometimes I just had to shut myself off from it. And it took a while to get over the uncomfortability of that. But that, to me, that was the process. That is what the class is about, in some ways.
But it is also why I invite a graduate back. So you see the endpoint, you see even beyond the endpoint. And it's also why I ask you in week 1 to look at some reports of other people so you can see, you know, some of them didn't quite come to the fruition that they might have hoped for, and others, you'll see the process of development, you know, where they thought they were going to go and where they ended up. And so maybe you then have a few images of people ahead of you. But it is an interesting paradox. You say you're a linear person, but, you know, these phases, A, B, C, you couldn't get much more linear than that.
It is not the right term, though, Peter.
Yeah, I know, that's right. So yeah. There's a bit of a paradox there, though, in terms of it's all laid out, yet it's a cloud. I'm not rejecting the
And I
may
not have the right metaphors or analogies. I just think it's not a bad feeling. It's just a very different feeling. And it's very comforting to look back at your reflection of how you began the sort of phases when doing that, the framework's helpful. I mean, so I hold hope for all of us in getting to that point too. I'll speak for myself.
I can say too, maybe one thing for me that really defines this particular transition was support for community teachers versus the professional development for community ed teachers. I think in this course, I really, at some point, I don't know what it was, but I took note of the engagement part of the title of the course. And maybe I'd sort of forgotten about that for a while, because I favored research, what's research about. But when I thought about engagement, what happened here was that I stopped worrying about kind of what I might do involving these other people out there, this other situation. And I started thinking, what would I do if I was the customer of my own board of planning product? So within the area of professional development, that's something that I wanted personally. I needed that. And I wanted to be part of the community that received that somehow, and I wanted to then make myself part of creating it. So
it's an interesting point. I mean, I find myself quite often saying to students, now, what would you like to have been able to read, you know, a few weeks before the semester started, in order that you could quickly get up to steam in your project? So that's the kind of thing that you're going to create as a product, something that doesn't yet exist for you, that's why you're in a cloud, but something that you could imagine being very useful for someone like you.
That's
Linnea. Linnea? That's... I don't know. More questions?
Can you talk a little bit more about the management of research process and in making those decisions of taking a look at something, and you said you decided very quickly, yes, I'll deal with you, or no, you get to go and then deal with you later file. I mean, what was your thinking behind? I mean, how did you sort of say yes, no, or it needs to meet these criteria? I mean, I realize we're supposed to be using a governing question to sort of throw everything up against that. Mm-hmm. But within that, I mean, if it's a very broad governing question, you're still going to end up with a ton of statistical research.
Yeah. And that's certainly one answer, is to narrow down the governing question even within a process. Even if I'm not sort of literally rewriting the governing question, as far as anybody else sees it, sometimes I rewrote it for myself in a much more specific way. Like, I kind of wrote it in the form of, here's a question about something that I can answer today. I can find this out today if I want to. So sometimes I wrote the governing question down to that very, very specific level. I think also the process of choosing and kind of separating research and all that sort of thing, it wasn't based on my intuition, it was based on my, I guess, kind of the way I chose to cut some things out or leave some things in.
So I think, if that wasn't based on intuition, what was that based on, that choice?
That was based on those specific, kind of the specific forms of my questions, and also a little bit about this transition. So I think that was the part that I didn't really understand in these words, but I feel like when I was looking at the research, I knew which ones were about this and which ones were about this. So I think one thing I did is I eliminated, you know, things that I knew I could eliminate first that were just too general, maybe didn't really answer my question.
Can you give an example of something you eliminated that?
No. A specific example? You know, I'm trying to think of something that I eliminated because I didn't spend that much time looking at it. So it's hard to think about. But maybe...
kind of to reframe the question, when you talk and think about elimination, was your thought about elimination because your project seems so big that you need to narrow it? Or it was very... at many parts, and you had to eliminate some of the parts.
Well, I'll show you one example. Maybe one example with this thing is that there's a lot of research out there about this, about that, and about that. There's a lot less. Yeah, sorry.
Tell the onliners what you're pointing to.
So I'm pointing to my three elements of interest. So there's less research about that connected to that. And there's less research about this connected to this. So I started eliminating things that way. I figured out which research talks about the relationship between one of these, or two of these sets of things, versus just one of these things in general, by itself. So that was one way. And then I kind of thought about, well, with some of that research talked about all these things in a certain way, there were many fewer of those. So I think I probably started off with those different papers and reports and so on. And honestly, one thing that I did in my research is that I think early on, I just took sort of a dump of everything I could find that had all those keywords in it. And I tried to eliminate some things based on what I just said. Which things didn't describe the relationships between any two of those. I took what was left and I looked at two things. I looked at which other resources did those cite, and I looked at which resources cited those. And from that, I got kind of a general idea. In a very regimented way. But I got an idea of which research was being cited a lot, or used a lot, or referenced a lot by others. And from that, I figured out, okay, who are the people who are known to write about this relationship? And I looked for other research that they published. So I really kind of used everything in the research paper to figure out what are other threats I could follow.
In a way, Jeremy answered your question earlier, though, when he described how he shifted from support for community education teachers to professional development for them. He said the shift was when I started to focus on the word engagement. So there it's like, what is this project for me so that I can make a contribution? So he's putting himself into the project. So rather than being someone who somehow abstractly has to encompass everything about what's being written, about the work in adult and community education as it relates to theater art, as it relates to how you experience teaching, he's now doing all those things as he, Jeremy, can make use of them in the situations he imagines himself being in or is actually in. So that grounds and I avoid using the word narrow. I feel like it makes it more doable, but it's not narrow as in like we just squeeze something down. It's kind of opening up because it's now something he's engaged in rather than some abstract task of encompassing everything that's been written. Does that sound right?
Yeah, it does. That certainly says it quite a bit. And also, definitely, I probably had a pile of research at one point, and certainly I didn't use every piece of every research. Some of the pieces I found a section that just had some wording or phrase that I loved and a paragraph that was meaningful, and I marked that off, and maybe I even wrote it or transcribed it into another piece of note, and then I threw the rest of the thing away, or I recycled it or whatever. So some of the research that I used a very limited part of it, but to me that represented getting more evidence, getting more support that somebody else out there has this idea or at least touches on it.
Well, I like what you said. It really resonated for me when you said I had to separate the interesting from the essential. I've already found that just in looking through the resources and stuff, you see titles and you go in and the synopsis, like, well, that's interesting, and then you're like, oh, I don't have time, for that, and it doesn't really pertain to the direction that I'm going in, and I would hesitate to move on, So that seems like a really good place to start, and I really appreciate you putting words to that.
I think I would say that all the time that I quote-unquote wasted was wasted reading those interesting kind of things. And that's what took me off track.
In answering Kim's question about using those chunks of time, the things that you guessed the time on, you talked about being specific on the other question. And correct me if I think I heard you talk about almost taking like a daily sort of governing look. You're talking about like, it's governing your time. Right? Am I hearing that right? Or
Can you say it again? Can you say
yes.
It another way?
You talked about being specific on your government question. And Kim's question was about using those chunks of time on things that you guessed or estimated. I think you said something to the effect of the governing question for the day. This area.
No, there might be a couple of ideas coming together here, but maybe one thing I did is within my long governing question, maybe I kind of wrote a sub question that I knew was part of it that just helped me for a short period of time focus on research. So maybe one of the things that I wrote in terms of one of those sub questions was, what are the specific theater arts techniques that are used in teachers in classrooms? So maybe I just really made a tight kind of form around that sort of phrasing. And then to me, it was easier to answer that question because I found maybe a few resources that really answered it, that actually gave examples that said, yes, some teachers do this, and here's what they do. They use role play in this particular way or whatever. So that those kind of questions happened every so often.
That
meant I was just focusing on a band of research at a particular time instead of always looking at the entire pool that was out there.
Last question.
I don't know if it's a question or maybe just share your thoughts on the peer review portion or call it something else.
Peer share.
Yeah. Of how that works for your class, or maybe you personally, did you have a few people that you would group together with? Or did, like in our class, we have this, you know, drop it on our wiki and then have whoever sort of take the opportunity to, and I'm wondering, I sort of have no hesitations about sharing, but I wonder if I'm looking at someone's thing out of the blue on week 8, if it's more meaningful, if I've been sort of in contact with that is going on, or if it's really just, you can do this on week 8 or 9. I guess I'm not familiar with it enough to know.
I think maybe what I was suggesting in terms of using peer engagement, peer sharing more, was I believe during the course I sort of entered into a study group with some other students in the course who could just meet at a certain time. So that was a key part of knowing in my mind, first of all, I'm going to go to this group this week and I want to be able to bring something. So it could have been shorter, it could have been a longer piece of final report or whatever it was. But that forced me to say, here's where I am, I'm going to have to explain it to others. Ask for feedback, maybe in a specific way, maybe in a more general way, but I put the time aside. So that's one way that I found that it was working.
Is there a format for that group that worked, that was effective, that peer?
In our particular case, I think in our case, we all agreed that we were going to bring one page of something, no more than one page, and we would share it together. So it could be a segment of any piece of writing that we've done, or any assignment. And I think what we found is that, if I remember right, we didn't usually end up speaking a lot about that particular assignment, but something down the road, or this next assignment tells us to do this, how is that different from the one we just finished? So I think it usually led into a lot of discussion about the process.
There's a little bit of extra information, which is that when he was a student, there was no requirement that you share your work. So why is there a requirement now? Well, somewhere early in the semester, in weeks 5 or 6, you'll do some kind of survey to try to get you to think about what kind of support structure in the course would help you help almost all the people get through to finish. And one of the suggestions that came out of that was more peer sharing. So it's been implemented in the course. But something else that comes out of that survey is that people start to generate their own peer support structures. So whether or not it's the result of the peer survey, the process of thinking about peer support leads some people to do it. And in this class here, people have already started doing it. Maybe they've picked up rumors that have been done in the past. So And I've sometimes noticed when people have common projects and suggested that exchange with among you four is a, would be interesting. People haven't always stuck with my suggestions, but at least it gets people going. Yeah. But I haven't done that yet. I mean, it's week three.
One possibility that I thought of in our little study group that we had was also, I kind of thought of the experience as part of my own writing, so I didn't just think of it as, oh, I'm helping this other person if I'm giving feedback. I thought of it as, I'm giving feedback which really exposes what I think about my own writing. So that came up a few times where I said something to somebody about what they were doing, and I thought, oh, that's funny, I just told somebody to do something I'm not doing, so I better bring that back into my own process.
Well, thank you, Jeremy. Thank you.